This is Stephen Whitaker and Eddie Chang coming to you live from Schreiber Radio, WDOT. And we are here right now with two guest speakers, Mr. and Mrs. Polofsky. They are survivors of...
He's not the survivor.
Okay, Mrs. Polofsky is a survivor of the Holocaust, and we're going to have some questions for her this morning. Welcome, Mrs. Polofsky.
Thank you.
I would like to start with the first question. Can you just describe to us briefly how life was in Poland prior to the German occupation?
Well, prior to the German occupation, I was under Stalin for 2 years. In 1939, Hitler and Stalin made a pact, and Poland was divided in half. So we fell under Stalin's occupation.
The Molotov-Ribbentrop.
In 1941, Hitler attacks Stalin and takes over our area. And so we were under Hitler at that point.
Oh, can you just describe to us like life prior to the occupation of foreigners? Yeah.
Before Russia?
Yes. Yeah. While you were in Poland.
Before, it was a very good life. My parents were well off. They both of them worked. We were just, my parents had two children, myself and my sister. And we didn't have the luxuries we have here because we didn't have electricity. So I remember as a child, a car came through the town and all the children ran after the car because it was an unusual event. I wonder where they got gas. They surely didn't have any in our town. But it was a small town of about 450 people.
Now, after the occupation of the Russians and Nazis, I understand you were sent to live in a ghetto in Poland.
Under Hitler.
Mm-hmm. And what was life like in that ghetto when you were sent there?
In that ghetto till the ghetto was killed, we were going on normally because we still had food that we had from before, and we didn't stay in the ghetto, or they didn't allow us to stay in the ghetto long enough where we didn't have any more food. So life as a child, you find a way to have an interesting life. And for me, especially in the ghetto, seeing the first time the electricity and seeing the first time that you turn on a faucet and you don't have to carry the water into the house. That was very exciting.
So I understand that you escaped eventually.
Yeah, well, the first... We had a hiding place, and when they killed the ghetto, we managed to go into that hiding place till our hiding place was found. By that time, it was about 5 days later, and they said that from now on, we're going to live a normal life, and there were proclamations all over the ghetto saying, we know that some of you found hiding places, and why don't you come out, and we'll continue life as it was before. But at this point, we knew that what might be the end results. There was no communication in those days. We didn't know what was happening to the other Jews in the other ghettos. They tried to fool constantly us.
When you escaped this particular ghetto, was life difficult outside of the ghetto for you?
We weren't escaped the first ghetto. They found the ghetto. Mm-hmm. And they put us at that point in a one big building. There weren't too many people left. But we managed to get out of that building.
I see.
And my father took some people with him.
I'm just curious, I'm sorry, but I just want to go back to when you were under the occupation of Stalin.
Uh-huh.
What was that life like under Stalin?
Yeah, very different. Mm-hmm. You couldn't, according to communism in those days, you couldn't have any business. we had land, so but we had people working on that land. So that was definitely a no-no, according to Russia. You were able to have a house. But there was a saying, the one who, кто не работает, тот не ест. Whoever does not work does not eat, period. So it for me, it wasn't, life didn't change much, except my parents went into work in the fields. But our lives were not in danger as it was.
Did you face the same resistance that you met when Hitler took over and he had for contempt for Jews?
It was no comparison, because our life was in jeopardy under Hitler all the time. I mean, I survived accidentally, as our whole town, 10% of our town survived.
And when the war ended and the Nazi occupation of Poland was over, did you return home? Did you come to America immediately? What happened?
We were liberated again by Stalin. And he allowed us to enter, to go deeper into Poland. So we kept on going towards the border that divided Poland and Germany, because we wanted to get into the American sector of Berlin, where the displaced persons camps were organized. We were supported by UNRWA, United Restitution Organization.
And from there you came to America?
Yes, in 1949.
So during your time in the ghettos and in the concentration camps,
concentration camps, I wasn't there, because in the concentration camps, a child didn't have a chance. They had no use for children. So most of the children were guessed right away, killed right away in the concentration camps. Only a Mengele, who had the twins, as you know, there were very, very few children who survived the concentration camp. Very few. Okay. I don't think I met anybody. I belonged to the hidden children's group. We organized ourselves. And many of the children come from Holland, the other countries. Very few from Poland.
So did you, after World War II was over, did you ever think about going back home to Poland?
Well, originally everybody went back where they came from, because nobody knew who survived. Mm-hmm. So we came back wherever. We were about 17 people, and we all lived in one town, and then we joined another bigger group of Jews after the war. But right now, I have no desire. Absolutely.
None. Do you know for a fact that if you have stayed there in Poland, that you might have not be, you might not still be alive today?
No, I wouldn't. Maybe the upper echelon, where Stalin killed the riders. Mm-hmm. But life was hard. But we lived under Stalin the second time, a year and a half, and I went to a Russian school.
So how long did it take for you to return to your normal life once this was over?
As soon as we came to the United States, my father went to work the next day, and I went to school. We came June 16th here. It gave me a chance to learn a little something by the time school started. So the first year, I absolutely knew no English whatsoever, but I knew the other subjects, so they put me in ninth grade. I was 16 or 15. And the second year, listen, you sink or swim, you learned. The language, that is.
Okay, and now just as a closing remark, what would you tell, or if you could tell the youth of America one thing that you learned from your experiences, what would that be?
And to take advantage of whatever you have, like school is so important, and to be the best person you can be, because it'll pay eventually in life, even so you don't see it now.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's a powerful message.
Thank you for the interview. This is Eddie Chang and Stephen Whitaker. We'll be back in 10 minutes.